Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Man, we've been talking so much about the Cougs with the win over Duke. And we talked a lot about the Rockets with the two big wins they had over the weekend. OKC on Friday. And then Golden State last night, which was to me the more satisfying of the two, even though you beat the one seed on Friday and proved that you could slay the beast for 48 minutes. Second time they've beaten him this year. The win last night that it made Draymond and Steph feel so sad is very satisfying. But Seth, given both of those entities, the Cougs and the Rockets, this is a bad job by me. I should have had this in Acknowledge Me. We need to acknowledge the Fertitta family.
Acknowledge me.
They're the first family of basketball right now. They're the owners of the team. It has turned the thing around here in the NBA. And they, of course, their name is on the arena over there at U of H, and Tillman Fertitta, with his role at U of H, is a big part of why Kelvin Sampson is here and a big part of why the program is doing so well.
It's almost like they own the University of Connecticut or something, and the way they've been able to dominate just a certain aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. So in Houston, having the Rockets and the Cougs doing what they're doing, and obviously the Fertitta family being involved in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. I'm going to give him some acknowledgement, give him some love. Especially with the
Rockets. Maybe something will finally start going right for him.
I think this thing's all starting to turn around for Tillman Fertitta.
For the Fertitta family.
Yeah, I think the Golden Nugget might make it. Pretty sure. I did my part last weekend to make sure that it would make it, I tell you. I made sure that they're going to keep their head above water. Made a nice donation to the Golden Nugget last weekend. It just dawned on me. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Got to be a fun time. I would imagine like flying to San Antonio and then zipping over to San Francisco to watch the game last night, and then you zip back over to San Antonio. Is that how these private jet types work? You just go wherever
you want to. I
don't know.
He's got to get it. And then Tillman's got to get over to Rome at some point.
At some point.
Be the ambassador to Italy, right?
Yes. Yeah. So good job. Good job, Fertitta family.
Is the Fertitta family, have they flirted with buying a soccer club?
He's flirted with buying an NFL team. I know that. And I feel like if you flirted with buying an NFL team, you've at least had conversations about other stuff as well.
If he's going to be spending all this time in Italy, I bet he gets a taste for soccer
maybe.
At some point.
Yeah, maybe so. Someone wants to acknowledge me for Amen Thompson. I'll do that. I don't normally take requests, but as long as
Amen
Thompson, yeah, did a hell of a job. Did a hell of a job on Steph Curry last night.
Mm-hmm.
3 points for Steph Curry, and the only 3 points. It was a total circus shot with 2 seconds left on the clock at the end of the first half. That was it. Anything Steph Curry tried to do conventionally last night, he got smothered. Most of the time by Amen Thompson, but a lot of times by the scheme that Ime has him out there running. A lot of trapping, making him work, and it was good.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. As you head into the playoffs and you have questions about whether the Rockets can sustain or be effective with their style of play over a 5-game series or a 7-game series, I think the Udoka's ability to utilize lineups and strategy the right way, as he's proven that he can do in the playoffs before. I feel it. I feel like there's a certain level of disrespect for Udoka himself when people question the legitimacy of the Rockets' two seed.
Mm-hmm.
When they act like, well, yeah, they're just placeholders for this or that or whatever. It's weird because it's not like Udoka is not a big name or anything.
Right.
Or that doesn't have the proof in the pudding that he can do it in the playoffs. I feel they're disrespecting Udoka a bit.
Yep. Let's see. Cougs circle of swarm on defense in the last 5 minutes was crazy. That's from Derwin. That was a circle of swarm. That was a swarmy defensive performance by the Cougs on Saturday.
Yeah, and we can't do circle of swarm with the University of Houston
right.
for multiple reasons. We just put the whole team in the circle of swarm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're an honorary. They get a certificate.
They've got a season long circle of swarm certificate.
Yep. Yep. We did Take-A-Mania on Friday. This is probably the most controversial ending we've had to Take-A-Mania, almost to the point. Well, it was to the point, Seth. And for those who don't listen on Fridays or maybe aren't listening this time of day regularly, we usually do this at 9 o'clock on Fridays. We take the worst takes of the week.
Yeah.
And they try to take down the reigning champion in the worst take category, which for 2 months now has been Angelo Cataldi. We'll play the full cut in just a second. But Angelo Cataldi saying that Andy Reid is the biggest fraud in American sports. That's managed to hold up in the eyes of judge and jury Seth Payne for 2 months now. This Emmanuel Acho take on Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders potentially revolutionizing the NFL, which we will also play, was so close. We had a lot of people texting in saying that should be the winner. You still had
people
Cataldi.
Are really angry at me.
Yes.
Yeah.
You still had Cataldi, but man, you had to think about this to the point where you were even thinking about a rematch today on Monday. On Friday, you were teasing a possibility of a rematch on Monday between these two.
Yeah. I think I had said I need some time with Emmanuel Acho's because it was really, really bad. It was just bad in a different way than Cataldi's.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do an emergency runoff
okay.
right now.
Emergency rematch. All right. So
it doesn't mean that he'll win the final 2025 award in December, but for now he might have to be the current title holder.
All right, so let's re-listen. He might not be. Maybe it's still Cataldi after you listen to it.
I gotta give it one last listen.
Okay, so one last listen. We'll do the full cut on Cataldi. Here's Angelo Cataldi of formerly of WIP in Philadelphia. This was the day after the Super Bowl.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won zero championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won one. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won one. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid, the all-time fraud of American sports is Andy Reid.
Yeah.
So
he said some things that were true, and yet at the same time, the conclusion that he's an all-time fraud in American sports, that's what's kept him at the helm. But Emmanuel Acho had a really, really bad take about Shedeur Sanders it's bad. So, Cataldi's is really bad, but we got to listen to Emmanuel Acho's really bad take.
I'm taking Shedeur Sanders. We all say Shedeur Sanders is a winner everywhere he goes.
That's yes.
That's not exclusively true.
No.
Shedeur Sanders and Deion are winners everywhere they go. I would take Shedeur Sanders to make sure that I have the first stab at getting Deion Sanders as my next head coach in Tennessee, assuming Callahan does not work out. The Titans have had 5 head coaches since 2010. You know Deion would inevitably leave Colorado for one reason and one reason only, to coach his son. If you can get Shedeur, who you think you're going to get as the next head coach? And you don't even have to come in here with a whole lot of different leverage and negotiation tactics. Just show him a picture of the quarterback, and it's Shedeur. Shedeur doesn't necessarily win everywhere he goes. We don't know that. That's not conclusive information. Shedeur and Deion win everywhere they go. I would get Shedeur because I want to get Prime, because if you get Shedeur and you get Prime, you completely revolutionize the whole NFL as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans. That's why I'm going for Shedeur.
All right, you completely revolutionized the whole NFL as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans, I don't even know what that last part means.
Yes, when it, thank when you.
As it pertains to the Titans, you revolutionized the NFL. They win it. You know what I really, really, really hate about it upon listening to it a second time is that we all say that they win everywhere they go. Wait a second. Don't be telling me what we all say, okay? Because, yes, they've had success. They had success at Jackson State partly by stocking their team with guys who are much above and beyond the typical talent level of Jackson State because he was the father. And then at Colorado, yes, they turned the program around, but they haven't won one. So, no, we don't all say that they win wherever they go. And then we don't all agree that it's a slam dunk that, oh, if Shadur and Deion are in the NFL, then of course they will continue to win everywhere they go, as opposed to all of those other first-round quarterbacks who have never won anywhere they've been. So, no. Oh, it's a horrible take. All right, he wins for now. He's winning. He's winning.
He wins.
He's winning, yeah. Emmanuel Acho. Mostly because at the very least, this is what annoys me about the Emmanuel Acho one. Mm-hmm. At the very least, Cataldi recognized the fact that it was going to be a polarizing take, where Emmanuel Acho does this thing where he's explaining to you like you're a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah, no.
And you're like, listen, you don't even realize how you feel about this. Let me explain to you how you actually feel about this. And then he tells me three things that I don't even believe. In that the vast history of the NFL has shown that, no, simply by hiring a promising coach or draft prospect, that you don't revolutionize the NFL.
Thank you.
It feels like Johnny Manziel telling that coach for the Browns, let's go take this league by storm or whatever. No, no, no. You will not tell me how I feel about Shadur Sanders and Deion Sanders.
I'm glad you're laying this out this way. I'm so glad that Acho ends up in the rematch winning this thing. Because it would have been a bad take if he cut it off before he said they revolutionized the NFL. It was already a bit similar to Cataldi. Like, Cataldi's take wasn't all that great. And then he says at the very end that Andy Reid's the all-time fraud. And you're like, all right, well, there's his finishing move. That's horrible. But Emmanuel Acho at the end saying that they would revolutionize the NFL, Deion and Shadur. And this is the part that I hate. Because what Deion has done and what he did those 2 years so far at Colorado is to be commended. He took a 1-11 team that was at the dregs of the Power 5 and turned them into a team that at least is A, fun to watch, and B, by the second year, at least a 9-win team that's competitive. You know, they're going out there, they're winning games. That Emmanuel Acho and that Shadur, to some extent, act like they turned them around and made them into the winner of the Rose Bowl or something like that. That they turned them into a team that was in the Final Four of the playoffs is the silliest part to me. Like, they are projecting what got done at Colorado, especially when they're going to have to do it in the NFL.
And then the silliest, by far, then even there, you extend on, and that Shadur almost just becomes an accessory in all of this, and that you draft Shadur, not even because Shadur himself is a good quarterback, but because it's an avenue to get a leg up on potentially hiring a coach that you then tell me is going to revolutionize the NFL.
Yeah.
Does Acho understand how hard it is to revolutionize the NFL?
No, he doesn't.
It's not as simple as, hey, I like Deion Sanders as a coach. And then you turn that into, oh, he's going to revolutionize the NFL.
Horrible take.
Treat me like a fifth grader.
Horrible take.
Yeah, treat me like a fifth grader that you're going to get me to buy more fundraising candy bars than I want to spend on.
That's true.
That's what he's doing. You know what he's doing?
Yeah.
He's the kid that sells candy to idiot fifth graders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the sixth grader that understands that, like, these kids get really hungry around recess time. I'm gonna buy a bunch of candy bars at the wholesale club and then sell it to them, rake them over the coals.
We had a kid named Adrian that used to sell Fun Dip behind the big boulder on our playground back in school. You remember Fun Dip? Did you ever have Fun Dip?
Were those like it was you dipped a candy into a chocolate sauce or something?
You dipped a stick. It looked like a
almost
like
or a something. Yeah.
No, it was like a stick. It looked
a
like
stick
a
stick of sugar into a, more sugar.
Yeah, you took a stick of sugar, like a white stick of sugar that looked like a tongue depressor. Uh-huh. And you dip it, you lick it, and you would dip it into one of three pouches of just colored sugar. Green, purple, and red sugar. So you're taking a stick of sugar, dipping it in sugar, and sucking on the whole thing. And that kid sold it behind the boulder like he was selling Coke. It was he would sell Fun Dip behind the boulder. Eventually got caught.
I bet that kid's doing well, though.
Probably very enterprising. Well.
Like,
yeah.
It's really just, I mean, it's not like it's you're selling drugs or anything. I mean, you are, you know, depending on how you feel about
for first graders?
Straight sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell that to the teachers.
It's not illegal, at least.
No, you're not snorting it, per se. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. The TV announcers were all questioning why Sampson wasn't fouling down the stretch, but he trusted his defense rather than giving in. We mentioned that earlier. They were down six with about a minute to go after the technical foul free throw on the JoJo Tugler reach-in. After the technical foul made it 67-61, Duke still had the ball. Credit Kelvin Sampson for not turning it into a free throw contest. He said, we're going to D up. He was fortunate enough to get it down to three the next possession.
Yeah, that takes a lot of trust in your process and your style, but also understanding that, okay, we're down five. We start playing the foul game to Duke, and are we just gonna expect or anticipate Duke, you know, flailing at the free throw line?
Yes.
It's real. That goes into, you know, him saying you're not gonna score 80 points versus Duke. Yeah, I think he also understood and recognized, yeah, that's a desperation move, and you're just hoping for the basketball gods to bail you out at that point if you start playing. But in the moment, man, it takes a lot of discipline and trust.
It does. But you can see his rationale. You got two things going for you when you're the Cougs. You're an elite defensive team, and you're an elite three-point shooting team. And at that juncture in the game, if you're not going to foul, then you need to get the ball back, which they did. They blocked the shot. Tugler blocked Knepple's shot. And then they went down and Emmanuel Sharp gets a three. I mean, that is playing to the strengths of your team when you play it that way. And I was, it was almost like the TV announcers didn't realize that. Morning, fellas. I've been a U of H fan and a Duke basketball fan since the late 70s, early 80s. I just wanted to see a great game, and that's what we got. Go Cougs. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think by and large, there were obviously a lot of Duke fans that were upset about the Cooper flag foul. Maybe it's just my algorithm and the way it worked. It seemed like I saw more Duke fans saying, like, all right, let's everybody slow down. Maybe score a point or two along the way, and then maybe we can have that argument. But, man, you can't be outplayed so egregiously and aggressively in the final moments of the game and then try to blame a ticky-tack foul on
it. You can't be up 59-45 with 8 minutes and change to go and finish with 67 points. You just you scored 8 points down the stretch. You scored 8 points in the last 8 minutes and change of the game. That's on you. And if you're a Duke fan also, like, dude, I think smart Duke fans know this, not delusional Duke fans. You get a lot of calls. You know, you had one. It wasn't an egregious. I think, you know, the announcers are saying that might have been a play on, and it might have been. He did go over his back, you know. And who cares? The Cougs are there now. Cougs are in the championship game. All right, Astros. All right, what are we reading into this weekend? And this is a sneaky big series the Astros got coming up starting tonight. So we'll talk about that, the good and the bad from this weekend. The good was really good. The bad is really scary when it comes to the Astros. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday.
Sean, how good are you at not checking your portfolio?
I'm horrible at it. I've been good at it the last 2 days because I've forced myself to do it. I'm terrible. You know this. I check my 401k. It's part of my routine in the morning. I check it because there was a time where I didn't have a ton of money, and I was part of it was my own fault. So part of my routine is to not only try to stay debt-free but also pay attention to my investments and make sure they're getting administered properly. And unfortunately, they have been getting administered properly the last 2 days. They've been getting kicked around like Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid right now.
I've gotten pretty good at, like, I really rarely check anymore. I just check to be sure I'm not getting screwed over somehow.
Yeah.
Like you said, administratively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been riding this recent wave pretty smoothly.
That's good.
I've been beaten about the head and ears enough in my life that I've gotten a genuine long-term approach to things. And I know my own psychological shortcomings. So I don't torture myself.
I'm taking a break from checking every day, if that's what you're wondering. Yeah, I'm taking a break from checking every day until whatever is going on right now straightens itself out, maybe gets us a little bit back, and then we'll see what happens. But Yeah. I was just, as I'm walking out, your Trajan Wealth ads are tremendous. And as you're walking out, I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, my retirement took a beating this week. Yeah.
I have a hard time. The hardest thing now I've gotten to an age where when I try to talk sense to people in their 20s, mm-hmm. I hear them saying all the same things I did before the first tech bubble burst.
Yeah.
Where, you can't talk any sense to somebody in their 20s. Things are different now, old man.
Yes.
You don't know what you're talking about. Whether it's crypto or anything else, like, you're a dinosaur. You know, like, all right, just go ahead and live and learn.
Money.
We'll just circle back in 30 years. We'll see how that's. Yeah.
Money's the one thing that you should, if you're younger, listen to advice from some of us boomers and olds about, because we've been through it.
Yeah.
Money is also the one thing that nobody really wants to listen to reason on if you feel like you're sitting on something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy doesn't know. He wasn't around for that. He was around for his stuff. He's not around for my stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, first tech bubble burst in 1999 was fun because there was a period where everybody was talking about what an idiot Warren Buffett was for not going whole hog in on the dot-coms and everything. Like, what a stupid old man.
Mm-hmm.
God, what a moron. Oh, God.
How'd that work out?
He's still doing all right.
He is. Astros, 4-5 on the season. The other thing I haven't looked at, similar to my 401k, is the standings in the American League West. Is it bad that I have a stronger vow to not look at the standings in the American League West than I do? Don't look at your 401k. The Astros are 4-5 right now. And thank God they win that game yesterday. They beat the Twins down 7-1. Midway through the game, and Ronel Blanco gets chased, and we'll talk about that. Ronel Blanco getting chased in the second inning and Spencer Arrigetti getting chased in the fourth inning the last 2 days.
Yeah.
We may as well talk about it now since we're sitting on it. Like, as good as it feels to win 2 out of 3, and I think that big comeback win is one that hopefully is one they can, they did some things that individuals can build off of offensively. Like, this Yordan home run feels like, okay, the storm is coming with Yordan. Paredes started to look like a big league third baseman at the plate. Had four
Brendan Rodgers had a good had a very good weekend. Yeah,
yeah, and he might end up being the regular second baseman. We'll see. But the elephant in the room, which is muted a little bit because they did win yesterday, Arrigetti getting chased in the fourth inning. The Ronel Blanco one. Which are you more concerned about? Arrigetti getting chased in the fourth inning on Saturday because he gave up a 3-run bomb with 2 outs in the fourth, or Ronel Blanco just never getting untracked in the game yesterday?
I think, it would be hard for me to power rank it. I think that I'm just gonna go with experience and the body of work that Blanco had at least over the first half of last season. Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively long term confident in Blanco. Arrigetti's still a work in progress, so I'll be nervous about Arrigetti.
Yeah.
That now if the bats can keep coming alive and start to deliver on this, Yordan especially, it's less of a concern. But this is such a different baseball team. Without Kyle Tucker and Bregman out there especially, there's so much unknown. And there's also without even being able to put my finger on it, it just feels so much different emotionally in so many ways. That I've got a constant feeling of discomfort with, like, I don't know who these guys are.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know these guys.
Yeah.
And I can't be as cocky about, like, just give it a little bit of time. Nah, Bregman's a notoriously slow starter. We'll be fine. I don't have that same foundation to fall back on now.
Dude, and some of the guys, like, Yiner is a disaster right now.
Oh!
Yiner is awful right now. Terrible.
You know where he's been really good at is pitch framing. The one thing that people were wondering, he's like the 97th percentile of pitch framing.
And he's 1-for-22 in his last 22 at bats or whatever it is.
Hey, the baseball gods giveth and they taketh away. It looks like he's a true veteran catcher there behind the plate with his pitch framing. And yet, yeah.
I appreciate you having his back. It's no very noble of you to have Yiner's back. Would you rather have Yiner rake at the plate and be kind of crappy at pitch framing, especially knowing that the electronic strike zone is coming sometime down the road?
The electronic strike zone isn't going to do that much to negate the importance of pitch framing, because you have to challenge. So the pitch framing still matters.
But you know what's always going to be important? hitting the baseball with runners on base. That's always going to be important. And Yiner is doing none of that right now. He's awful right now. So there's that. Altuve. I did like that Altuve, forget about the defensive part of it. He had an error on Saturday. Still having trouble getting the ball out of his glove and into his throwing hand.
Yeah, that's his big obstacle right now, is just actually taking the ball out of his glove.
But yes. He followed up his platinum sombrero on Thursday, because they have Friday off, with a really good weekend at the plate, including the game-winning RBI yesterday. So, overall, positive on Altuve. Yordan Baum, great. Paredes, four-hit game. Hey, Josh Hader, a two-inning save yesterday. No hits, no walks, three strikeouts. Josh Hader, probably not pitching tonight, I would guess, if there's a save situation in Seattle tonight. They play late tonight in Seattle. Well, that's an intense night of sports watching here in Houston. We got the Cougs in the title game. And we got the Astros with their first divisional matchup of the year against the Seattle Mariners at 8:40 tonight.
8:40?
It's going to be a late night, man.
What time's the basketball game start?
7:50. 7:50 tip. Yeah.
All right. I might have to take a nap this afternoon.
Yes.
Damn it.
Yeah. Budget that sleep, man. Budget that sleep. So that's the good and the bad. I feel 4-5 right now. The problem is the Rangers are 8-2. The Angels, I'm not too worried about. Although Mike Trout looks like Mike Trout. He's hit home runs in his last three games. You know. So
yeah, I'm sure that'll work out brilliantly for the Angels.
It always does. Yeah. It always does.
Yeah, Mike Trout can be the triple quadruple MVP this year. They'll still be the Angels.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text page. The worst part about that take about Deion and his son, for those just tuning in, we just replayed Emmanuel Acho's take that you should take Shador with the first pick if you're Tennessee, so you get first crack at Deion next year as a head coach, and the two will subsequently revolutionize the NFL.
And it's more so that Deion will revolutionize the NFL.
Yeah.
Not even just Shador. Emmanuel Acho basically said that who knows if Shador Sanders is any good as a quarterback. You need to get Deion in the door if you want to revolutionize the sport.
All you gotta do.
I'm okay if you're high on Deion Sanders as a coaching candidate in the NFL. That's cool. But don't be sitting there and telling me a guy's going to revolutionize the sport.
Yes. So here's the text. The worst part about that take about Deion and his son is, what if they're horrible and you can't fire Deion because then you're going to piss off your quarterback? Yeah, they are inextricably linked. What titles or championships has Deion won as a coach? Why is... Okay, and then they got some other stuff in here about Deion that I'm not sure is true. Acho versus Cataldi is going to be like the Cena versus Orton of the early 2010s. It is two really bad takes.
Yeah.
That was
They'll be in the circle of infamy at the end of the year when we have the final tournament for worst take of 2025.
Yes. Yeah, I'm keeping track of all of them. I keep the ones that are really, really bad.
The take that started it all off was Ross Tucker's take that if you really like a restaurant, that you should not tell anybody about it because you end up waiting too long to get in. And he almost said that you should talk bad about it. And then, lo and behold, I was watching an old Pepe Le Pew cartoon this weekend, and I forgot one of the cartoons. There's a burglar who paints the cat with like a skunk.
Oh yeah,
and then puts the skunk in a bank to get all the customers to run out. And then the bank robber just goes in and takes all the money. That's the Ross Tucker strategy.
Yeah,
Ross Tucker would advocate a skunk scare to try to make his restaurant have less of a weight.
Did you intentionally go to watch a Pepe Le Pew cartoon, or were you flipping around and you landed?
I did. I went to watch a Pepe Le Pew because we've got a skunk issue, and I've been trying to get rid of a skunk without shooting the skunk. I'm going to trap it next. But I got some skunk repellent. And you know what? It makes perfect sense, and yet it was a shock to me that skunk repellent, it smells, it's incredible smelling.
Oh,
which
really?
Makes sense, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're trying to repel Pepe Le Pew,
yes,
then something that smells fragrant and nice, it's all these essential oils, it's peppermint oil and all this other stuff, then it smells incredible.
So let me be clear on this. You have a skunk problem at your house. Is that what I'm hearing? And so you were watching Pepe Le Pew hoping to kind of get inside the mind of the enemy a little bit? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good... That'd be a good way. No, I think it was almost like, ah, remember Pepe Le Pew? What was his deal anyway? And then you go back
too,
and you watch it. Like, oh, it was, yes, it was that you... You totally did a bunch of stuff to get yourself canceled in the future. Yeah, we're just putting the full court press on this poor cat. The whole cartoon.
Seth's got a coyote issue. He's sitting here watching Wile E. Coyote. Like, oh God, I can destroy these creatures. This guy is stupid. Oh, we've got some fun dip takes.
No, but you can buy a skunk trap. Mm-hmm. That my father-in-law actually has one. I'm going to borrow from him. It's very small, so the skunk can't lift up to spray after you trap it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think like, oh, great, I buy a skunk trap and then it sprays all over the place. The thing is, it's tearing up our vegetable garden is the problem.
Got you.
So that's why we got to get rid of the skunk.
Okay. So you negate his or her superpower by putting them in that box. Okay. I got you. Text message. I snorted Fun Dip once when I was a kid. I have no idea why either. I didn't know a damn thing about Coke. I had blue and purple snot for a while afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I remember a kid snorting sugar packets. Well, you're at that age where you don't know what cocaine even is, but you've seen it in a movie or something.
Yeah.
And, what was that kid's name? He was one of the kids who moved away. And, you know, those guys kind of become dead to you. He was a huge part of my life up through fifth or sixth grade, and then he moved away.
And that's it.
And you talk about him every now and then, but he snorted a line of sugar.
Was he miserable afterwards, or was he like?
No, he acted the way you would in the movies if you saw somebody snort a line of coke. He acted like he was just gonna go out and take on the world.
That's great. Yeah, I wonder how much of that was psychological. Like,
it was 100% psychological.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment.
Yeah, can I tell you my other drug scandal?
Sure.
We're at a wrestling camp one summer. Our whole high school team went to the same wrestling camp. And we were down in, we were at some gas station. We had like a couple hours off. So you go into this little town and we saw these things. We were all dragging our asses, you know, and they had these pep pills that were, and I'm guessing looking back on it, they were mini thins back when epinephrine was legal to buy over the counter.
Yep.
So we all bought these pep pills, but there was this one kid, Kenny, who didn't have any money at all. He came from a real poor family and he stole the pep pills. He shoplifted the pep pills. And got caught doing it. Yeah. Yeah. So poor Kenny. Meanwhile, the rest of us, we took these pep pills and we were flying. We were flying at the next session.
Oh, you.
But poor Kenny almost got kicked out. And then they had to sit us all down and talk to us. It was like an after school special. You know, Kenny was allowed to stay at the camp. And but he gave us this talk about drugs and everything. And it scared us straight. I would never do mini thins again until high school. Yes.
Taught you how to kind of manage it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mini thins were rough, man. That was bad. I can't believe those things were legal.
Three?
Those things were powerful.
Three little kids drugged up at a wrestling camp on pep pills.
What could go wrong? Oh. At Alfred State College.
Oh, my God. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, final segment coming up. Best bets. I got a couple best bets for tonight's championship game between the Cougs and the Gators. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. We will do that coming up next.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll see how we're feeling when we come in tomorrow. Cougs, Florida tonight, 7:50 p.m. tip. You can hear the game right here on Sports Radio 610. Here was Kelvin Sampson. I think this is, if there's a cut out there that encapsulates Houston in one phrase, take a listen to this. And this is Kelvin Sampson with the warning shot to all other people out there associated with other teams and evaluating the world of college basketball. Do not sleep on Houston.
Lucky to have them, but it's not lucky that they do what they do, because that's work. They trust their work. They trust their teammates. You know, I hear what people say. You know, Duke this, Duke that. Duke's great. John Shire is awesome. But don't sleep on Houston. Don't sleep on Houston. We weren't 34-4 playing in the Toy Poodle League. We were 19-1 in the Big 12. Glenn in the Big 12 helped us. Shout out to my Big 12 brethren, Coach Brett Yermark, and all the great coaches in the Big 12.
All right. Kelvin Sampson gets a chip on his shoulder really easily.
Yeah, even for the on behalf of his new conference, even I like that. I don't know. There's just something about even not that I'm not all hyped up for a whole bunch of Big 12 chants or cheers somehow like SEC chants.
No, and I don't even think the Big 12.
I don't think
the Big 12 gets disrespected really. I mean, I know the SEC got a jillion teams into the tournament. I don't think it was undeservedly so. It was a really well. Some of them were UT going 6-12 and getting into the tournament. 6-12 in the conference and getting into the tournament. That stuff is a little bit annoying when a team only wins a third of its conference games and they still get into the NCAA tournament.
There is a little something about maybe professing his love and putting some advertising out there for the Big 12 just with the concept of a rising tide lifts all ships.
Yeah.
So the more you can get, the more shine you can put on the conference, the more it increases your base perhaps of recruits and what have you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. My thing for tonight, I'm taking the Cougs tonight. Walter Clayton Jr. is frightening for Florida. He's hit a bunch of big shots.
Yeah.
But my two prop bets that I'm going with here is Walter Clayton Jr. is the first player since Larry Bird to score 30 or more points in an Elite Eight and Final Four game back-to-back. He had 34, I want to say, against Auburn in the semifinal game. He was great, especially down the stretch against Texas Tech in the Elite Eight. I mean, he has hit big shot. Go back to the UConn game in the second round. Big shot after big shot. I am going Walter Clayton Jr. under 18.5 points in this game.
Under 18.5?
Under 18.5. I think Coach Sampson's going to put the clamps on him tonight.
Okay.
They're going to be chasing him all over the place. And they do a really good job of getting the ball out of the hands of the guys that can hurt you really, really bad.
With Walter Clayton, I'm kind of feeling the same way I did about Cooper Flagg, in that I don't worry as much about what his total output is as long as you can make it difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
Except that Clayton's also done that. Clayton, like Texas Tech and Auburn, he didn't have an easy go of it, and he still produced.
Yeah.
I think he's got more of a dog in him than Cooper Flagg does. Cooper Flagg at the very end is exposed to be what he is, which is a coddled Duke kid. Whereas I think that Walter Clayton is more of the real deal.
Yeah. It does feel a little contrarian. I'm going to admit that, but if I'm going to lean into Cougs plus 1.5, then if they're going to win this game, then they're going to have to hold Walter Clayton Jr. to under 18.5 points, probably. Florida team with a lot of firepower. They like to play up tempo. Cougs like to slow it down. I feel confident in the Cougs kind of dictating the pace. The other prop bet I've got, Seth, is LJ Cryer over 2.5 3-pointers made. He had 6 in the last game. And on something like this, it's really about opportunity. Like, he's going to shoot. You know, I don't think that, you know, like LJ Cryer has had at least 8 3-point shots in 4 of the 5 tournament games so far for the Cougs. So he's going to get opportunities. They're going to, again, he's probably going to need to make more than 2.5 for them to win this game. So these are two prop bets that are kind of correlated with my pick of the Cougs in tonight's game.
Yeah, and well, the one thing about Florida's defense has been playing well. They're not nearly, I mean, nobody's the defense that Houston is.
Right.
But they do. They send teams to the line a lot. The Cougs haven't been awesome at getting to the line, so there's a little bit of a, okay, how much of that does become a factor, and that it's not something that the Cougs really rely on, and yet when Florida's playing defensive well, they'll foul a lot. Mm-hmm. So that the free throws might end up being a bigger factor tonight than it typically is.
Second shots, you know, they've got to keep pounding the glass. If they play their game, I think they're going to be good tonight. Should be a hell of a game. I'm anxious to see what the crowd is like. I mean, obviously it's going to be a sold out crowd, but I'm anxious to see if it's a Coug crowd. You know, if the geographic proximity to Houston for where this game is being played plays out in a way. It's so hard in those stadium venues to create that sort of thing. It's not nearly as intimate as say the Fertitta Center. Arenas like that, crowd is so far away from everything.
It's hard for people from Florida to drive 15 hours down the I-10 corridor without being distracted by some kind of vice along the way. So I don't know the percentage. It's almost like baby sea turtles almost. They might be leaving the beach there in Florida, but the percentage of them that actually make it all the way to San Antonio, I don't know. Or, and not to mention having spent 48 to 72 hours there in San Antonio already, how many of them actually make it into their seats tonight? I'm not sure.
Toughest part for me is you go through multiple cities with casinos along the way. Like, you know, New Orleans would be a tough putt for me. If I had to drive from Florida to get to San Antonio to see my team, that would be the toughest obstacle for me. Getting through New Orleans without saying, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and watch it in a sports book. Good. John Lopez, Reggie Adetula, they are here.
We are here.
Yeah, man.
In body.
How great was it to watch not only the Cougs win, not only Duke lose, but the Cougs force a cataclysmic choke job on Duke?
It was the perfect storm.
This was a great weekend, man.
Unbelievable.
Seeing the Rockets weekend and the Astros in that Duke game, the Cougs game over Duke on Saturday.
Yeah, both my sons went to the game separate from each other. They didn't know they were going to be there.
Did they see each other at the game?
They did, ultimately, but it was the Spider-Man meme or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then my daughter's going tonight. She called off work.
No way!
Yeah, she and her husband are going tonight.
Are your sons jealous that she's going to the game?
Well, they saw one of the most memorable games in the history of basketball.
They didn't take your advice and hang around and get some other tickets?
Yes, well, actually, my daughter, I gave my kids that advice, which when Duke loses, if Duke loses, find the Duke fans.
Yeah.
My daughter got tickets for like $140 a piece.
Love to see it.
Awesome.
Online or like?
Online, but it was Duke fans.
Duke fans were dumping them.
Dumping them. It was the perfect play, man.
Used to be easier back in the day when it was paper tickets.
Yeah.
You just buy them right to
you. Yeah. Now you got to, you know.
Okay. 140 for the championship game?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing even if you didn't have a rooting interest, right? Like to be there for. But if you have a rooting interest in one of the teams.
And it's going to be so much of a UH crowd tonight.
It is.
It's going to be huge.
Do you think, I mean, you've been to these games in these big football stadiums before. Do you think it translates like on TV and in there? Like,
I think it translates some, maybe not like you said, the Fertitta Center.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna ask Chancellor Johnson. We'll talk to him at noon.
Is he gonna be there?
Yeah, well, he was there.
I know he was there. I heard him.
He should be on tonight or should be there tonight as well. So I want to get a feeling for what the arena was like. Because also, Alamo Dome is kind of weirdly shaped. Like, it's mm-hmm. not quite the fullness of, like, some of the more cavernous football stadiums.
It's about as intimate as you can get in a stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been around a while now, huh?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's got to be the oldest stadium that's still getting stuff like this.
Yes. 100%. I was thinking that watching this game. I was like, how is San Antonio still managing to draw with the Alamo Dome? A building that, didn't they build that just to try and lure away one of these teams? Was it the Cowboys?
Probably.
Like, I don't know if it was the Cowboys. It might have been the Raiders back
then. It might have been the Raiders.
Yeah, it might have been the Raiders.
Like, and then the Saints played there.
They managed to get so much run out of it.
But San Antonio does it because they're like Indianapolis, but good. You know, good in terms of touristy.
Oh, yeah. Indy likes to tout how they got all those
they're great.
Tunnels and everything.
They're great, but they don't have all the, you know, the bells and whistles.
Where's their Alamo, you know?
Yeah.
Where's their Riverwalk?
They got Jim Irsay's house. Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff took place there, too, I'm sure. Just like the Alamo. So we got that. We had the Astros this weekend. Are you more excited about Yordan hitting a two-run bomb in extra innings or worried about the fact that both of their starting pitchers this weekend got chased before the fourth inning was over?
I'm more excited about Yordan hitting the homer. I think that the pitching has had to be so phenomenal just to get close to winning games early on. You know, run support is something I feel good about. Like, I feel strong about those top two pitchers in particular. So I know that, you know, these are blips on the radar, at least in my estimation. If you have the offense clicking to a degree where hopefully you see 7-9 runs, you give those guys a little bit more freedom. I mean, it's a different feeling being up there on the mound knowing that I don't know that I'm going to have – I don't think I can give up three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think I can give up two or three.
It's funny you ask.
Where you feel like I can give up five and still feel like I have that space.
Yeah, it's funny you ask that because we were asking that question, something, about that at 11:20. But I'm sure you're wondering, what is the question of the day?
I am wondering what is the question of the day, actually. Yes.
What's something that you used to be horrible at, but now you're really good?
Okay, who's
like
this?
Like Juwan Robertson free throw.
Oh, okay. Okay, something I was horrible at.
He was on some five beef a day for three summers. Like that feels.
Mine is fixing what was then my daughter and now my granddaughter's hair. Like she used to look like a troll, my daughter.
Okay.
But I've been fixing my granddaughter's hair. Gorgeous.
And you really got a little hairstylist thing going
on,
huh?
That stuff. I've practiced.
Are you doing this like every day? Is that what's happening?
As often as I can.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good one. Do you have one, Seth, for that?
Yes, public speaking. The first part of my life, I was not a good speaker whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I still, you know, I still have many, many blemishes. But I didn't start speaking until I was 3 years old. I was a late bloomer. And then I was very, very quiet for a long, long time. I had like speech impediments and what have you. So yeah, just by having to work at it and then being thrust into an environment in the NFL where I had to speak into a microphone, I had it beat into me that I at least became a credible public speaker.
This is a boring one. Like, I'm way better at managing my time now than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, when I was out in the real world in sales, I was horrible at managing my time.
Really?
Very, very easily distracted. I find that hard to believe. I was decent at it. I do look back now and think if I was the organizer that I was back then, that I am now, because I do stay organized now.
Would you have a Scrooge McDuck pool?
I don't know. No, I don't know if I would. Well, I wouldn't be in radio, probably. Yeah. I probably would have been more successful as a vice president of sales. Like and the higher up I got in the company, the more that came back to bite me.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not just working on your schedule.
Yeah.
You're working on the schedules of like 15 other people. So, but that would probably be mine. There's nothing athletically I've gotten better at. That's what immediately pops into mind when you bring up Juwan Roberts. Mm-hmm. Like, he got better at shooting free
putting?
Throws. No, well, I'm a little better.
As guys get older, they tend to be better short game and putting.
I'm a little better at golf overall. Yeah. I hardly ever play.
Yeah.
But I've only played probably three or four times in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'll get asked to do a tournament. Like, if somebody here in the office needs a fourth for like a sponsor tournament, they'll ask me, and they'll go, don't worry, you just need to talk to people and make them laugh. You can suck, it's a scramble or whatever.
Yeah.
I've actually, in the last few scrambles I played, they've used my shot way
older,
more than they would have when I
For
was...
For some reason, as guys get older, their short game gets better.
And that one, that's not even brute force in the same way that that Juwan, I mean, 150 makes.
Oh, I know. The fact that he works on it that much.
Mm-hmm. Since June.
It's crazy.
Like, I was thinking about it, like, what happens in like off days, travel days? Where are we finding time to get to the gym to make sure we get 150 makes?
Kelvin Sampson said he does it on non-practice days.
Yeah, managers go in,
grabs
open the
team
gym.
Manager. Yeah.
Everybody has to.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We are done, fellas. enjoy the looking forward to enjoying the next 4 hours.
Oh, we will.
Basking in the afterglow of a great weekend of Houston sports. Mm-hmm. 7:50 tonight, championship game between Florida and the Cougs. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a glorious evening to you.
Thank you very much. All right, we are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.com.